Yeah.
I might have to remind me to frame it.
Frame.
Okay, guys. So just to remind everyone who wasn't here last week, what the goal of what we're doing here. Last week we got to know the Tiferet Shlomo of Radomsk, the Radomsk Rebbe. He lived 150 years ago, but he introduced our Chabura Shir. He explained that, I mean, we discussed what the benefit. Well, you know, let's just free ask. Now, what do you think is the benefit of learning about other people and learning from them?
They're definitely on a new level in us.
Yeah.
And we can take after the traits that they have.
We can learn from them. Right, yeah, Robbie?
Ezel chacham alam en mikol adam.
Awesome, right? And to take that
further.
Where's
the wisdom from your brothers, Moshe?
Learn from everybody. But the thing is like this. How many are banned in Torah Shraga?
30.
30. Okay, how many have in Gross?
40.
Maybe
5. 45.
45 and a bunch on the way, like 30 on the way, let's say. and like they're pretty good. Like the rabbis we have, the rabbis we have are pretty wonderful, Baruch Hashem. But we have 2,000 years of the greatest rabbis of all time. 3,000 years. 4,000 years. Right? Avraham Avinu was the first Rebbe. Right? That's 1948 he was born. So, well, our goal here is to learn. Well, we might have to bring a chair though, sorry. Our goal is to learn from.
This is a good problem, by the way.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Oh, you can even bring the couch if you want to pull the couch over. Our goal is to learn from the Rebbes of history. But, this isn't college. We only have one person in college at the table, Baruch Hashem. And this isn't just to learn like history about people. Right? Our goal is, Evan, say it in four words, to ask ourselves.
Ma'ze Omer Li.
To learn about a tzaddik, to learn about a kaddish, and then ask, what does this person's life mean to me? What does Rav Kook's life mean to me? What does the Pizetzna Rebbe's life mean to me? What does Rebbe Radomsk, right? What does Rabbi Nachman's life mean to me? What does Rav Shach? Well, who are these people? Find out in due time. In due time. Today we have a very special mission, though, and that is to learn about one of my favorite people ever. In fact, when I was trying to get into YU, they asked you in an essay if you could bring anyone, if you could speak to anybody in Jewish history, who would it be? So I was a little pisher, junior in high school. For some reason, I wrote Rav Kook, and my answer was horrible. It was like Rav Kook because I wish he could come back to life. I could speak to him, which is a horrible answer. But I got in. And here we are, graduated. Yeah. Class of 2017. Baruch Hashem, 18. So, what makes Rav Kook so special? So I'm sure that there are varied degrees of knowledge about who Rav Kook was around this table. So whether you've never heard of him in your life and you just heard his name, or whether you've been studying him day after day in Hebrew, or whether you've been learning his Torah for 10 years, I want to ask you quickly to begin, if you could summarize his entire life, how unique he was in one word, what would it be? And there's no wrong answer, because it's just about what you think. Rafi, go. Quick.
One word.
I didn't think of the word.
This?
Achdus.
Achdus, okay. Aryeh.
Israel.
Yeah. Zev? Am I right, Zev? Don't burn things. Natan.
What?
What do you say?
Well, I say a quick one.
Yeah.
I say very.
Exactly.
Zionist.
Hartzig. Oh, Zionist. Okay, fine.
I think.
Zionist. Evan.
Popcorn.
Popcorn.
Meaningful.
Meaningful. Moish.
Rabbi.
Rabbi.
Oh, I find
Tfila.
It very.
Tfila. Ooh. ZJ.
Stark.
Stark. Eitan.
Wow.
Klaw. Kiva. Gabe.
Leader.
Chaim?
Revolutionary.
Okay. Yeah, guys, that was big. We can stop right now. We got it all. Oh, sorry, Jakey.
Can't hear you.
Silence. I actually believe in that. Oh, hold on. Sam, yeah, put him on. Yeah, let me hear. Say again?
Pnimius.
Nice job. Right?
I hope you're ready.
I did something. Get back. There we go. It's like a manual rabbit. It's just not an iPhone, you know what I'm saying? Ari, can you bring that thing of popcorn? So we're gonna do it. I'm gonna tell you in 10 minutes how I would summarize him. But you gotta give me 10 minutes. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go first, 10 minutes, just a little bit of who he was, biography, a couple stories about him. And then we're going to learn a Torah, which is, I'm not sure what's more of Cook, the ideas which he expressed, or just the points about him. So we're going to learn. And then, as we like to do, we're going to sing a song. And the song has four words. And Evan knows them.
I do.
And Evan knows the song. And Moshe knows the song. And maybe ZJ knows the song.
No. Not only.
But if you don't know it yet, you'll have to learn it. I think Chaim might know the song. I think Chaim does know the song as well. So it's a shame. But the point of the song at the end is to let everything we've said seep in and allow yourself to ask the question of, okay, so what does this mean to me? Shh. So that's tonight's goal, okay? So
who is that?
Issa, you can't yell, you gotta go to your game. Come on.
You choose where it's at.
What? D2, yeah. Uh-huh. So Rav Kook was born 1865 in basically Russia. Now it's like Latvia, you only know from them from FIBA. Not a very significant country, but it was basically part of Russia. And very, very cool stuff. His father learned in Volozhin. That's very cool. Mother, so Volozhin is like the most Litvak you can get, right? Volozhin. It's like the most biggest Lithuanian yeshiva. His mother, Chabad Chassid.
Wow.
Born, so that is quite, right? You hear?
I don't believe it.
That's like quite that's quite variety of parenting. You can be sure they had many discussions about how to parent appropriately. Different machleks and chassidim, chassidim and litvaks. But that's what he was born into. And if you look at Rav Kook, actually, he was a combination of his parents. He grew up as what's called an Eloi, someone who is just like absolute genius. Like, his mind was incredible. He was doing hundreds of blad a day of Gemara. He was in Yeshiva Volozhin when he was 18 years old. He was in Volozhin. Who was Rosh Yeshiva Volozhin when he was there? Rav Chaim? No, not Chaim Volozhin. Chaim Brisk. Chaim Salvechik. And the Netziv. There were two different Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. One was the biggest Brisker, the biggest, biggest Litvak you can imagine. Chaim. Gosh, everything we have from Chaim and learning. And that was from the Netziv. The Netziv was incredible. And Rav Kook was much closer to the Netziv. The Netziv was, if you learn any of his Sfar, maybe we'll do Netziv one week. But everything for him is about the depth, the psychology, the human, the individual. And Rav Kook was only in this yeshiva for a year and a half. But the Netziv says about Rav Kook that if Volozhin was built only so that Rav Kook could learn it for a year and a half, it was worth it. And that's crazy because there were Gedol and Mamish who learned in Volozhin. Horrible was built in Volozhin, but he said for Rav Kook, it would have been worth it. And Rav Kook's schedule there was nuts. Well, in Volozhin was like very like yeshivish, like yeshiva. Like everyone was like learning very seriously. And Rav Kook, as we'll learn, was like very, who said tefillah? What was your name again? First name?
Noah.
Tefillah.
Big one.
Rav Kook was a huge, huge Baal Tefillah. Rav Kook's perspective on davening is that you're just opening your mouth and letting your soul, which is always davening, that come out. So Rav Kook was obviously davening like on fire in yeshiva. And Rav Chaim, who was like a brisker, was like, what's this guy doing? Like, some yeshivas, they don't even say Chazar HaShas because it's Bittul Torah. Right? And like, Rav Chaim sees this guy like davening like for, you know, like mamash schwitzing in tefillah. And Rav Chaim asks the Netziv, like, what's going on? Like, what's this guy doing? And the Netziv's like, leave Rav Kook alone. Let him be. Leave Avraham Yitzchak. His name is Avraham Yitzchak. Leave Avraham Yitzchak alone. Let him do his thing. Don't worry about it. Rav Kook, as he grew up, I think this is true because I heard it years ago, but I didn't see it online, but I think it's true. He learned in a special kollel with the Chavetz Chaim in Radin for Kohanim to get ready to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Wow. Right? He was a Kohen, and he writes that when he was growing up, like, all he wanted to do was work in the Beis HaMikdash. Like, he was so excited. Any Kohanim here? None, but he was so excited. Anybody want to be a Kohen? Yeah, definitely, right? He was so excited to be a Kohen, he was dying to work in the Beis HaMikdash. And he learned in a kol for it. So eventually, by the way, eventually he moves to Eretz Yisrael on the day which I believe ended up being Yom Yerushalayim. Yom Yerushalayim ended up being the day that Rav Kook moves, big yontif. And he was chief rabbi in Yafo, which is close to Here we go, Tel Aviv, that's my boy. Way to go.
Yafo.
Good. By Yom, exactly. Bnei Brak. There we go, that's a better answer.
Oh, we discussed this today, Chai.
So he was Chief Rabbi of Yafo, then he was actually Chief Rabbi of Yerushalayim a little bit, but then immediately Chief Rabbi of Israel after, like, wasn't much Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim I never saw, but I saw on Wikipedia today. I was like, no.
What year was this?
This, when he was Chief Rabbi?
Before the State of Israel.
Before the State of Israel. So this is early 1900s.
He started the rabbinate.
Right. And he was the Chief Rabbi of all of Israel. And as, who said he was Zionist? Right? Zev.
Natan.
I called you Zev so the first time also. Where are you from? Muncie. Natan from Muncie. So as you said, he was a big Zionist. And the people in Israel were not as big, and there were a lot of like fights that happened between them. And he was in Israel for, he died in 1935, so he only lived till 70, 68. And when he was in Eretz Yisrael, basically you could say it like this, like, there's different Sfarim that Rav Kook wrote, and you can tell where he lived when he wrote them. Like, the stuff in Chutz La'aretz, everyone says Rav Kook's writings are hard. They weren't hard when he was living in Russia, and they weren't hard when they were living in Switzerland. They were hard when he moved to Eretz Yisrael. When Rav Kook moved to Eretz Yisrael, his soul exploded. Like, he touched the ground of Eretz Yisrael, and he was like, okay, like, everything came out. That's why there's a great maisa that someone once asked his Rosh Yeshiva if he can learn the Sfarim of Rav Kook. And his Rosh Yeshiva responded, he's like, they're not Sfarim. You can't, like, they're not Sfarim. You can't learn the Sfarim of Rav Kook. And he's like, what do you mean? He's nervous that the rabbi was, like, an adon to Rav Kook. And the guy's like, it's not words, it's not Torah on paper, it's neshama on paper. Like, everything Rav Kook wrote is neshama. It's neshama. It's like, it's mamish. Rav Kook is neshama. It's not just a svar, but he himself was neshama. And he was Am Yisrael, he was Eretz Yisrael, and he was Hakol, just Kool neshama. What's the yeshiva Rav Kook founded? Who knows what it's called?
Merkaz
Harav. What does Merkaz Harav mean?
We dove in there Friday night.
Merkaz is the center, what's Harav?
Central
of Rabbis. So I always thought it was Harav, which is Rav Kook in Israel. So you say Harav in Israel means Rav Kook, by the way. You say the Rav means? So basically you say the Rebbe?
Mashiach.
You gotta know where you are and who you're speaking to.
Hey, I thought it was the Rebbe.
No, it's the Rebbe. So the Rebbe is you.
Also known as Mashiach.
Evan Kraken. I just found out that Merkaz Harav, he named it Merkaz Harav. And Harav means many. This is the center for many people to come learn.
Yeah, daven there Friday
from all walks of life. Not for him. I always thought it was for him. So now you know a secret.
No? Yeah?
Well,
Abby,
I gotta get it.
Really?
He's still working on that.
Let me share with you guys a couple of mice. Well, first, let me just pass these around. We're not going to get up to it, but you can see his face while we... A couple of mice. And then we'll get to this Torah.
Yeah.
Can
we have a shore in every year?
His house was
Bermuda.
And it's a shul?
Yeah.
In the house?
It gets hype on civilization.
For a while. Yeah. And
every Friday night they bring in like top class cousins.
It's like a lineup.
Beautiful dog.
So last night I came back from Netanya.
I was just there.
Netanya is very beautiful, but I passed this community on Netanya called Hod HaSharon.
Uh-huh.
You've heard of Hod HaSharon? Do you know what it used to be called?
No.
It's called Magdiel. Magdiel was named for Rome. And it was a city, when Rav Kook was living there, it was called, I think it was called Magdiel, that's what it's called. And it was named after Rome, which is not a good thing, because we don't like the Romans. And it was named for them.
I'm seeing things down left and right.
And when Rav Kook was once invited, Rav Kook actually prophesied or said that Magdiel will be no longer. He might have said that. And anyways, he was invited once to go to a tree planting ceremony in Magdiel, it was called then. And if Cook arrives and they hand him a shovel, and they say, okay, you can like dig a little hole and then plant a sapling. And this guy, Zev Gold, was there with him. He tells the story, he was there with him. And if Cook drops the shovel, gets down on his knees, and like, you know, he looked, you know, you see the picture, you know, he wore a long coat, gets on his knees, digs with his hand, dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Mommy, she was like trembling what he got to do. Digs a hole with his hand in the, you know, it's not soft, the dirt in Israel. Digs with his hand, puts in the tree as he's like trembling, and he's like, it was like a moment of crazy dveikus when he was doing that, just planting a tree. And he finishes planting and they start leaving. And this guy Zev, he says to him, like, Rebbe, like, Shkoyach, like, I know it's a big deal, but like, why, what was like the crazy dveikus you have been planting the tree? And if Cook said, he's thinking about a medrash. And there's a medrash that says that you're supposed, uvosid bakun is what the pasuk has in Devarim. You have to be close, you have to cling to Hashem. But the medrash says, no, Hashem's a fire, esho chla, how do you cling to a fire? And it says that when Hashem created Gan Eden, he planted trees. So that's how you, to cling to Hashem, plant trees in Eretz Yisrael. And if Cook says, when I was planting that tree in Eretz Yisrael, I was feeling that medrash in my bones, and that uvotid bakun, that's how you cling, I felt like I was clinging to Hashem as I planted the tree in Eretz Yisrael. It's the fire, just planting a tree for him. Was another great maisa. Okay, as I was telling you, Rav Cook did not have everyone being his fan in Eretz Yisrael. And you guys ever, you know what a Pashkavil is?
No.
You ever been to Mei Sharim?
Yeah.
You know those big posters on the wall that say like the, if you ever read them, they're really intense. Like every single person that dies is the glory of Klal Yisrael, and every single person that, every Rav that dies, the apocalypse is coming. Like you read any of them actually closely, it's like really nuts. So one guy was putting out very, very intense Pashkavil against Rav Cook. Because Rav Cook, one of the biggest things about him is that he loved every single Jew. And he loved even secular Zionists who were some of them were atheists, threw away Torah, but were building Eretz Yisrael. Atheists. Like, they were sonei Torah. They would have yontif on Pesach and make fun of people actually keeping Pesach. They would eat ham and bread. Like that, and Rav Cook loved that person. And he'd hug them. And so for some people it was like, that's incredible. And for some people that was like, Rav Cook's bad. You know, some communities in Eretz Yisrael still, when they try to say something bad about someone, they say he's like Rav Cook. Like they said that about Rav Steiner. He's a kooknik. That, because Rav Cook, what's he doing talking to these Rishayim and hugging them? So some people were very, very against him. Some kanoim. And they would put up Pashkevilim saying how terrible Rav Cook is. And one of his Tamim was walking with him, and he said to him, he said, Rebbe, you know the guy that prints these? Like, you know the printing house, just tell him to stop. One guy would come to the printing house and say, hey, can I please print these? And then he would print it for money. So just tell the printing guy not to print it. And Rav Cook said, listen, for this printing guy, it's his parnasa. So let him print whatever he wants about me. And it's going to make money. Avas Yisrael. Avas Rafi. Please pick up your sheet. Please flip it. Now keep hold it in the air, please. And show the whole crowd. No, other side. What do you guys see?
White piece of paper.
Tov mode. A journalist once came to Rav Cook and he said, can I interview you? And Rav Cook said, no. And the journalist said, like, Rabbi, like, what are you can put it down. The rabbi said, what are you trying to... Actually, hold it above your head with two hands. The interviewer said to the journalist, like, what are you hiding from me, Rabbi, that you won't let me interview you? You have something to hide? Like, they're always very, like... So Rav Cook said to him, he said, listen, like, look behind me on the wall. And he looked behind him and he said, what do you see? And the journalist said, he sees a black dot. Because there's a black dot on the wall. And Rav Cook said, that's why you're not going to interview me. Because this entire wall is white. And this whole piece of paper is white, but you see the black dot. And that's why. So the story is gewalt, but the best part about it is that Rav Cook is the exact opposite. Rav Cook would see a fully black wall and see the white dot in it. Every single thing in the world, you can see the white. You can see the beauty, the good, because everything comes from Hashem. Everything is given life by Hashem. And Rav Cook could see the good in every single thing in the world. I'll just tell you one more ma'isa before we read the Torah. And this is actually very, very close to me because I actually have a very similar story with my wife. Different nimshal, but same story. Rav Cook was once walking. Anybody heard of Ari Levine?
Yeah.
So Rav Cook was once walking with Ari Levine. They felt like they were like soul brothers. Rav Ari Levine was a Talmud, but also like they were very, very, very close. And they were going on a hike. And Rav Ari Levine like aimlessly like pulled a blade of grass out of the ground. And Rav Cook like freaked out. Like, what are you doing? And Rav Ari Levine's like, what did I do? Like, I just... And Rav Cook said, every single blade of grass has a malach telling that blade to grow and has life. And you can't just pull out a blade of grass. You're ending the malach's life. You're ending the life of the blade. It's like a crazy... It's a crazy maisa. But now like, you'll feel different about that. I once had a similar maisa because I was once on a hike and I was shot with NCSY Jolt in the Swiss Alps. And I saw a beautiful flower. Ariane pointed out to me a beautiful flower. And I was like, wow, first of all, of course you knew she was into me because you pointed everybody else out. There were 50, 40 people. And I was like, okay, show it to me, fine. And she shows me the flower. And I was going to take it with me because it was a really gorgeous flower in the Swiss Alps. And she said, what are you doing? And I'm like, what? So she said, different terms. She said, if you move it, everyone behind you is not going to see it. So you pick it, it's just for you, but you leave it there, everyone else on the hike is going to see it.
Oh, right? Gosh, I got a rock for you. No one's going to see the rock.
There are many rocks in that story.
What?
but anyways, just the sensitivity is not much. So now I want us to open up, just for a minute. I'll tell you, we asked the question of what's of cook in one word. From my viewpoint, and I've been in love with Rav Kook for many, many, many years, I still don't consider myself to know anything he says. Anything of how much he says, let me say that. Because everything he says, every single word he says is like his whole neshama in every single word. It's like, you'll see, we're going to open this in a second. But I would say Rav Kook's uniqueness is his perspective. Perspective. The way that his eyes worked. The eyes of Rav Kook. When I proposed to Ariane, I wrote a song. In the song, I compared her eyes to Rav Kook's eyes. Because of that maisa with the flower. Sensitivity. I will never play that song for you. Don't get excited.
It's not what I'm playing.
But. Rav Kook's first name was?
Avram.
Second name was Yitzchak. But I think he was most like Yaakov. Oh. Funny, right? They left out the main one. Why'd you name him that? Because Yaakov Avinu was everything. Yaakov took every side, put it all together. But this week's Parsha, Hinei Sula Mutzav. Yaakov has a dream. This week or next week?
This week,
right? He has a dream and there's a ladder. Mutzav Arta, the bottom is on the ground. Virosho, Magia Hashemaima. The top is in the clouds. And that, I think, is what was the biggest godless of Rav Kook, is that he could have his feet on the ground. He was doing things. He was traveling the land. He was planting a tree. He was being the chief rabbi of Israel, but his head was in the clouds. His eyes were looking at every single thing in the world in a spiritual lens. Look at this. This is... Rav Kook was not very good at organizing things. He even said so himself. And he just wrote journals and like hope that other people would organize them for him. This piece that I have for you here, you can flip to the other side, is in the middle of one of his diaries, Simon 181. But look how fundamental, look how much of a worldview. Look at this. This is Mamish. This is an example of them putting together one of his books. This whole Sefer Yishlachan Firuach is about a person's own life. What basically answering the question of what is the self in Rav Kook's eyes. And it's, how big is it? 500 pages?
All Hebrew?
Yeah, not easy either. Listen, if you want to make another chabur, let me know. When I was going through this, I was like, we should just do Rav Kook every single week. But
I'm down.
Ariane told me maybe not, so we'll see. You have to listen. You have to know who to listen to. But look at this. Just to get a flavor of... look at the way he writes, and let's hear what he has to say, okay? Open up to this. If usually you don't look inside, this is the time to just see. Im tirtze ben adam, if you want, histakel b'or hashchina b'chol hayikum, look at the light of the shchina in all that exists. Histakel b'eden hachayim hashemaimim, look at the eden, the adinut, the sweetness of life that is heavenly. Echem mispalshim b'chol pina v'zavit shebachayim haruchniim. So first of all, you realize that's very hard to understand. It's a lot of big words. Truth is, he made up a lot of words also. He was living in like 1900, like the beginning, and like there was no state of Israel. They were beginning to rebuild the language of Hebrew. But it was so deep within him, Hebrew, and like the Sfarim and everything he learned, he like was able to just make up words of Hebrew. There was no rule book. You know what I'm saying? He did whatever he wanted. There's no Israel. So he made up words. But this, look what he's saying. Look at the world with the eyes of seeing the spirituality in every single thing. Hitbonen bepilei ha-yitzira. Think deeply about the pilei ha-yitzira. I'm sorry, I'm translating this, by the way. I feel it hurts for me to translate this. It's so much better in Hebrew. But think deeply about the wonders of creation. Chaye elokut shelahem, the godliness of every single thing that was created. Not that it seems far, kiyim da, realize, etemetziut sha'ata chayba. Realize what you're really living in. Don't, like, not, like, you look at a cabinet, okay, like, it's just a cabinet. Like, no, realize what it is. Godliness. Right there. Right here, this table. It's shulchan. Shulchan malachim. It's made of Hashem. Right here. I'm touching it. You want to touch it? Touch the table. Right? Good. Right? It's made of godliness. It's everywhere. Know yourself. Know your world. Know the way that your heart works. Know everyone else's heart. Find the source of life in your heart. That's above you. Around you. Look at the glory of the world in which you live. Take the love in your heart. Lift it up. Take the trait of love that's in your heart and raise it up to the highest level. To the glory of love. Widen its wings, the wings of love. To all the ways that it spreads to the world. That only brokenness of a place and speech give you a drop of its light. Habit el ha'oros b'toch yotam. Look at the light of everything. Stare at it. Al yivlu nishmatcha shemot. I don't exactly know what this means. Nishmatcha amilim hanivim va'osios. Don't get lost in words and in names and letters. He mesurim b'yadcha. They're in your hand. You have the ability to wield words and names. You're not bound to labels. Now this is made into a song by Benny Landau. He's having a concert next month. Oh, this month. 10 days. I should go. Hopefully. Good show. Ale lemala ale. Rise up. Kikoach ozlecha. This is Rav Kook speaking to each one of us. Rise up because if you have such incredible strength. Yesh lecha kanfei ruach. You have wings of spirit. Kanfei nishirim abirim. Wings of strong eagles. Al tikacheish bam. Don't deny them. Lest they deny you. Penti yikachashulach. Drosh them. Find them. V'yimatsu lecha miyad. And they will find you. What does it even mean? What did we just read? Right? What told you more about Rav Kook? The last 3 minutes, or the first 25? Find your wings of soul. Look who you are. Look at the world with the eyes of God, eyes of godliness. See every single thing as it really is. Let love overwhelm the world. Understand what love really is. You yourself, rise up, because you're way above the world. This is what, you know, Yechapada means, that story, on Neshama, on paper. This is an exploding. I have a book I left in Teaneck because I couldn't bring every sefer I owned here. It's just Rav Kook's soul expressions, where Imamish was talking about his soul. I'm like, this is the same thing. Every single thing he writes is the eyes above. And I was coming from Netanya this past Shabbos, and I was in the car, and it was a long drive. And I was saying to Ariane, I said, I've learned so much Rav Kook. And so much of Rav Kook is like, he would see every single Jew. Mamish, someone that spat on a Torah would burn it because of how much they hated Torah and tried to throw away the entire Judaism just to build something called Zionism, where we can forget about the Jewry of old and just begin anew and just have... And these were Herzl's words. Let's build a land that's just for Jews, the Jewish state, and let's have bankers like every other country has bankers. Let's have Jewish bankers. Let's have Jewish businessmen. And let's have Jewish prostitutes and Jewish thieves. Because his dream was just to be a nation like every other nation. And he wanted to build Eretz Yisrael in Uganda, you know this. And the secular Zionists, I told you, they would make Yontif on Pesach to mock Pesach. They tried to throw Judaism down the drain and flush. And Rav Kook hugged them for it. It's like the biggest, craziest thing ever. You look at Israel. The reason there are so many Israelis not keeping Torah mitzvahs is because of Zionism. Because they built this thing, which is like, forget about Judaism. This is something new. This is a new religion called Zionism. And Rav Kook hugged that. And I was like, how could he do that? But the answer is because he's able to look at a person and see everything. He could know a person, an idea, better than a person, an idea knows itself. He could look at you, he could look at an atheist and say, I understand more than you do. Like he could look and say, you are part of a return of the soul to Eretz Yisrael. And I'll make this one last point, is that the Navi in Yecheskel is a very, very, very famous Navi. You have to read this and learn this. When he talks about Tchias HaMesim, and he writes about the bodies and the bone, the valley of dry bones coming back together. We read this when I was in Shalvin, we read this in Maidanek, when you see the mound of ashes and you see the bones of the Jews that were killed. And we read this there, and the valley of dry bones, and you see the bones, and the Yecheskel says that first the bones came back and they made a skeleton. And then the sinews and like your tendons became to go back in, and the body and the flesh comes and the skin comes, and then the soul is breathed back in. And if Cook saw that as what's happening in Israel, even now that we're in the middle of, that we get to look and see. The bones have come back to life. The bones don't have soul. The bones don't have spirit. The bones don't have Judaism and Yiddishkeit, but they built this whole country. And our job now is to bring the soul back. The job of 2019 at 57 Tufshin Pei is to bring back the soul. And that's it's the current role that we have. And if Cook is able to see above everything, look at this incredible thing that's going on. Not that there's a guy that's burning a Torah in front of me, but this is a guy who's building the bones of Tchias HaMesim for Klal Yisrael. So we got to ask, from this story, from Rav Kook's life, we can maybe spend years just talking about Rav Kook, but it's better to just be in Rav Kook than to speak about her. But let this go in. Ask yourselves these questions. Do we have thoughts of greatness, of godless, of a vision for the nation? Do we dream of what the future can be? Not just let it happen, but do we dream of what the future can be? Right? What can Klal Yisrael look like? And can we make a difference in that vision? Rav Kook's life was Rosho Magia Hashemaima. His feet on the ground, but his head's were mamish seeing everything. Dreams. Do we have dreams? Do we have dreams? Right? So now we gotta sing the niggun. You can leave, you gotta roll.
We go on lights off.
Okay, but while we sing this, this is like I said in the beginning, the goal of this is to ask, what does Rav Kook's life mean to me? I don't want to wake up the yeshiva guys going on there. Okay, here's how it goes. If you don't know it, you can wait and then sing along when we're ready. Mazel Merli, Shkaya Chevre. Shkaya. Shkaya, Shkaya. L'chaim. Shkaya. Shkaya. Coming, everyone. I didn't know. Next time I'll print more. I apologize for the...